You're listening to All About the House on Lake 88.1, and our guests this morning, Kelvin Hodges, who's a Perth-based renewable energy entrepreneur, and also Don McKenzie, Perth resident and engineer and owner of a brand-new solar home in the Perth area. We want to talk about cost savings here. That's one of the reasons that you get into this, on top of course, helping the environment big time. But, Kelvin, I'll let you kick this particular section off about the costs involved in such a construction.
Yeah, so Don, really, you know, when we talk about this, we talk about two kinds of economics. One is the homeowner's economics, how much money does he save? And I noticed in your recent electric bill, it would have been $140, but by the time everything was tallied up, you were paying about 10 bucks. And then on the other side, we're looking at the carbon economics. Like, this is actively reducing the amount of CO2 going into the air. It's not burning any fossil fuels. And, you know, you're going to have this system for 25 years. It's going to save you a lot of money. I mean,
yes, that is the question everybody wants to know. And in our case, there was sort of two parts, I guess. One is basically the net zero thing, so to provide our electricity. And the other is when we were building the house, we would have spent money to put in a standby generator or something like that to keep, you know, keep going when the power goes off and when there seems to be some power outages due to climate change and all that kind of thing. So if we factor that in, that amount that we would have spent on that sort of came into the off-grid side of it, that in the batteries, basically to keep things going when the power goes off. The price of the materials or the stuff that you need to do this is going in the right direction. It's been for quite a few years. I mean, the panels have been getting cheaper, and as it becomes more mass-produced and the local, you get people that know how to put it in and all that, the cost comes down. But kind of the target, I think, and nobody really knows the answer to this, but what we were sort of working with was it has to be sort of repaid in about 8 years in savings is kind of our objective. It could be sort of plus or minus 2 years, I suppose, depending on. One is we don't know what the price of hydro is going to be, so if it goes up significantly, that number of years will come down, or if we have sort of an unexpected failure of some kind, that could go up. But our objective was sort of hit somewhere around an 8-year return, and then, like you say, if it has a 25-year life, then there's quite a few years there where you're in the gravy.
And that's thousands of dollars in savings, really. I mean, especially, I know you have a plug-in electric SUV, so, you know, you're going to be saving gas costs and, you know, no cost to charge that vehicle, and plus the, you know, hot water and home heat, and that's a lot of money.
That's the hope, and, you know, I think we've been pretty conservative in the estimates and the way we've calculated things out, so I think we're going to be maybe even pleasantly surprised that it's even less than what we had designed for.
You'll be putting in a hot tub.
Yeah, that might be, eh?
And what about the carbon economics? Like, maybe we should touch just a minute here. I mean, obviously, the solar system, it reinforces the grid. Like, if you think of it, you know, the power is being generated locally, used locally. That's just a more efficient way of creating energy, and, you know, solar power really is looking to be the cheapest way of generating electricity that humankind has ever experienced. But there's also the CO2 side of things, right? I mean, you are directly reducing CO2 production, and that's of enormous benefit to the planet. So, I understand that was part of your reasoning behind putting this system in.
Yes, well, that's true. Now, I mean, the other argument or the other side of that equation, of course, is that to build a house like this and to make the materials to be able to produce solar does take energy. So there's a payback there as well, where you have to have it, you know, efficient and functioning long enough to basically offset all the carbon it took to build the thing in the first place. Now, in our case, if our design calculations come out as we expect, we'll actually be generating a fair bit more than we actually use. So we'll be, at the end of 12 months, whatever, your net credit, if you haven't used it in 12 months, you basically donate it back to Hydro One or whatever, or to your neighbors. which is fine with me, because that's sort of helping pay back the carbon, offset the carbon that took to build the thing in the first place. So that's fairly complicated calculation how to figure all that out, but that's our intent, is we provide all of our electricity locally that we consume in the house, plus probably some extra that we'll sort of put out to the network. We don't get any actual money for it, but that's to sort of offset the carbon it took to build the system in the first place.
Oh, that's a really interesting point. Wow.
One question I had is as you put this together, were there any kind of federal or provincial grants? I know there's not an abundance of those at this particular point, but were you able to take advantage of any grants, Don, in the system right now? Are there any?
I'm not aware of any at the moment. There's certainly talk and things coming, but I think that the sort of the bright side of this story is that the costs have come to the point where it's viable without any grants, which is, you know, what was the whole reason of the grants that were there in the past, was to get the thing going so that it was economically viable and could run on its own, and then it's sustainable. And that was sort of a lot of why I did this, was to sort of try and sort of test that theory out. And I believe it is. Even without grants, I think it's, it's feasible.
Mm-hmm. One other question, more a comment, I guess, that just came in as well on a different subject. We're going back to the snow again. Just a comment from what they call themselves, a loyal solar panel owner. They say, don't underestimate the amount of work required to keep the snow cleared off the panels on the roof. So that's
okay. I can comment on that one, actually.
Sure.
In my calculations, I knew this was going to be an issue. So this is where the net metering really comes in to make the difference here. Because if you're off grid and you have to store your energy, you know, your own energy in batteries, then if you don't have any solar production for a month, say, you've got candles and flashlights out. Whereas on the net metering, we produce so much energy in the summertime and send it back to the grid, which is, you know, our battery, basically. We've got right now banked over 8 megawatts or 8,000 kilowatts just from the time we've been operating here. So in my calculations, I actually calculated zero output for December, January, and February. So I'm net zero if my panels produce nothing for those 3 months.
You're still able to get that
back. That's
how we
sort of took that into account.
Yeah. Kelvin?
I know from living off-grid, my farm was off-grid, that, you know, when it was snowing, I would be out there, three times a day with the rake, raking the snow off, trying to keep that layer of snow really thin so that when the sun did come out, you know, then it would, my panels would heat up and clear off quicker. So, and I do know, too, like, if you can get your panels clear, from 10 years of data, November, December, with the heavy cloud that Ontario has, are the killer months. January, February, there's so much sunshine. You can make an incredible amount of power. And so it'll be really interesting at dawn to see what happens, how quickly your panels clear. I know they don't have a very steep angle, but also how much power. I think you're going to be surprised how much power you create. It should be really interesting.
We're going to have to leave it there. A very interesting subject today, and that's solar panel. Of course, leading to a full solar home construction, a brand new one. Don McKenzie, you said you're just into the home now, about a week or so. So the system's brand new to you, but we wish you best of luck with the solar installation. A real full-blown solar installation as well. But thanks so much for detailing some of that today. We really appreciate it.
No, I appreciate sharing the word and see that it is feasible to do it.
Yeah, and we'll have to check in with you as well, get you through a winter time or so, just to see about how things are going. And we're also going to talk to you hopefully sometime about that the double air source and water source heat pump situation that you've got going. Very interesting technology as well.
Yep, so, there's a fire sprinkler system in there too. You can put that down.
Wow. Okay. Well, then we got something to talk about. And finally, Kelvin Hodges with us. Thanks so much, Kelvin, for your expertise, and must be very heartwarming for you to see another solar installation in the local area.
Oh, and this is a beauty, Brian. It's just a fabulous system. Thanks so much for having us on. I really Really appreciate it.
All right. Thank you so much, both of you. Kelvin Hodges with us today, Perth-based renewable energy entrepreneur, and Don McKenzie, owner of a brand new solar-powered home in the Perth area. That does our show for today on All About the House. Thanks so much for listening. We've got the news coming up in just a moment here on Lake 88.1.